game week in Atlanta, which means it's time to talk all things Georgia Tech on the Coach Brent Key Show, driven by Hyundai.
Breaks a tackle. Oh, and he's gone. House call. Touchdown. And we're a point after away from being all tied up.
We'll hear from Georgia Tech football head coach Brent Key and other members of the Georgia Tech Athletics Department as we gear up for another week of Georgia Tech football, driven by Hyundai on the Georgia Tech Sports Network from Legend Sports.
Runs it right, slams into the end zone. Touchdown, Jackets!
Now here's the voice of the Jackets, Andy Demetra.
And a very good Thursday evening. See, time to get back to work for the Yellow Jackets. And this week, it's back to work under the lights and in prime time at Bobby Dye Stadium at Hyundai Field Saturday as Georgia Tech welcomes in number 17, North Carolina, to Midtown Atlanta. Georgia Tech has won its last two contests with North Carolina. Both of those matchups, the Tar Heels came in ranked, and we'll look to see if Georgia Tech can make it three in a row against the folks from Chapel Hill. We will break down that matchup and much more over the next hour as we welcome you into the Brent Key Coaches Show, driven by Hyundai on the Georgia Tech Sports Network from Legend Sports. My name is Andy Demetra, and as always, let's welcome him in, the head coach of your Yellow Jackets, Brent Key. Coach, how are you this week?
Doing good. How's it going?
It's going well. I know you've been very consistent with these four words that you preach to your team, regardless of what the scoreboard has read on a Saturday. So what? Now what? It's on to the next challenge, on to the next week of preparation. You want your team to learn from that Boston College game and let that frustration fuel them, but at the same time, you don't want that game to sit with them and reach a point where it dwells with them. So what was the main message coming out of Boston College? Get them in that right mindset, the right attitude to attack their week of prep going into North Carolina.
Yeah, you know, the so what, now what, isn't really used for post-game. That's more of a, somebody gets hurt, you gotta move forward. If somebody has a drop in a game, okay, yeah, you can't continue to think about it. You've got to, move on or it's going to affect the others. But the post-game message, there's not a so what, because that would say you don't care that you lost the game. There's no, emotional tie or feeling to it. Because that is the big thing, that the emotional tie to the games, for players, for coaches, for everyone, those are things that are so hard to separate. And when you have a game like that where, you have an opportunity to win the game and you don't close out and you don't finish on it, you've got to be able to come in and get the corrections. You got to know what got you there and got you what you did well up to that point and gave you the opportunity to win the game in the fourth quarter, but then also what you didn't do well and what you've got to improve on and what you have to eliminate.
You talked about this in your press conference this week, and in three games this year, you were either up or within a score going into the fourth quarter. Louisville, Ole Miss, and Boston College this past Saturday when you led 23-17 going into the final period. Have you been able to put your finger on what this team can do better to sustain things through all 60 minutes and finish the way you want? Because you have shown that ability. You showed it at Wake Forest, showed it against Miami. So you know that ability is in your team.
Yeah, you're constantly looking at everything in the program. You're constantly looking at every the way you travel, the way you fuel or eat, the way you practice, the way you game plan, the way you call plays or call different scenarios. You look at all of it, evaluate all of it, and you see what didn't work, what needs to be tweaked, what as the season goes on, it more so needs to be tweaked or slightly adapted for the team. A lot of that comes to really the player availability that you have week to week as well. So all those things are looked at, and all those things are really with a fine tooth comb of seeing what the best way to go about doing things is.
We talked last Thursday that Boston College would be bringing in a very punishing running game, relentless, frustrating in many aspects, and even though it's not a style of rushing tack you had seen before and will likely not see again this year, what does need to get cleaned up, corrected in your mind in that run defense as you face a North Carolina team that does boast the ACC's leading rusher?
yeah, you know, they, you know, UNC does have a ability to run the ball, ability to throw the ball. You know, it's driven through the quarterback, but you got to be tight in your run defense as well, and you got to be able to play both. So, you know, that part of the game is going to be a big challenge this week, and we've got to continue to improve on some of those things. And, you know, an improvement 1 week and then a step back the other doesn't get the job done. And, you know, an improvement in one quarter, two quarters, three quarters, and then, you know, we got to the fourth quarter last week and really doubled the run total from the first three quarters. So that can be attributed to a lot of things, but a lot of it comes back to the basics of playing the plays, the basics of the organization of what you're doing with substitutions and those things. So, you know, correcting those things, you know, getting the substitutions, getting the organization of those things right with the right people and the right people going on and off the field is critical to success.
Thomas Castellanos, BC's quarterback, he had the most rushing yards per game of any QB in the FBS, but he bet an equal on Saturday in Haynes King, 150 yards, which was a career high. That said, it wasn't a banner day for Haynes through the year, a guy who's meant so much to you all season long, but just 14 of 32. He was intercepted three times. What made it an off day for Haynes against Boston College?
Yeah, it's a culmination of things when you look at it from the quarterback's perspective, but the quarterback puts it all on themselves. You know, everyone gets the glory and the glory and the praise as well as the negativity after a loss. So that comes with the position. He knows that. He knows what he's got to work on. He knows what he's got to eliminate. He knows what he's got to keep doing well. He can't try to put the whole game on himself and push throws that shouldn't be there or that aren't there that he shouldn't throw. He can't do that. And then everyone's got to continue to, you know, improve around him. And I think, too, with getting personnel and player availability, that'll help as well. But, you know, you can't control the player availability you have on any given Saturday. So other guys have to be able to step up and take those guys' places.
His first five games, he had completed 64% of his passes. Last two games, Miami, Boston College, just 45%, two touchdowns, five interceptions. What has Haynes maybe gotten away from?
Yeah, I don't know if he hadn't. It's not that he's gotten away from things. He hadn't changed. You know, statistically and production-wise, his decreased through those games, but also the run game has not been as efficient. That's something we've got to get back in the swing of things and have productive first downs, because, you know, the second and that second and 8 to 10, second and 7 to 10, that's really the danger zone right now that puts it all on the quarterback. And, you know, when you know you're what I call big little, you know, you have a big run and then, you know, a 1 yard or a no yard or 2 yard, and you're constantly living behind the sticks. All right, that's a tough place for the quarterback to be. And when those games have happened, all right, whether it's, you know, you throw or ability to run, pass, you know, whatever the order of it is, you got to be able to take some of the pressure off of them.
Yeah, how do you remedy that? You had addressed the big little concept in your press conference on Tuesday that, you know, it's getting you behind schedule when it comes to down and distance.
Yeah. Well, there's only one way to remedy it, and that's to be better at it. It's not a cold, it's not a disease. You don't give it medicine. It's production. It's producing. It's putting the right plays together. It's being able to make adjustments during the game. It's those things that bring the consistency.
Haynes had the 71-yard touchdown run, longest by a Yellow Jacket in 6 years. Even if you take that out, you guys did average better than 5 yards a carry against Boston College. So despite some of those issues with the big and followed by the little gain, was it a better performance on the ground overall? Did you feel like you took a step back in the right direction versus BC?
Statistically, it shows that, but I don't think we did. I don't think we took a step as far as doing what we want to do in the run game. And look, you can sit back and I'm not saying to run the ball 70 times a game. I'm not saying to throw the ball 70 times a game. I'm saying it's being efficient in what you're doing all around that we've got to continue to get better at.
Yeah, efficient, consistent. We'll see if Georgia Tech can supply plenty of that on Saturday as they take on North Carolina. Tomis Leather at 8 o'clock under the lights here at Bobby Dodd Stadium at Hyundai Field. We'll take our first time out. Just getting started. It's a new edition of the Brent Key Coaches Show driven by Hyundai, and it continues after this on the Georgia Tech Sports Network from Legend Sports. Pack your bags and join the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets football team in Dublin, Ireland as Tobias Leather to kick off the 2024 football season in Dublin. The Aer Lingus College Football Classic will feature your Yellow Jackets versus the Florida State Seminoles in a special Week Zero matchup on August 24, 2024. Don't miss this unique opportunity to visit one of the world's most popular travel destinations while cheering on the Jackets on a global stage. For travel packages, tickets, and more information, go to gt2ireland.com. Sting 'em.
Atlanta's own New Realm Brewing Company is the official craft beer of Georgia Tech Athletics. In the stadium and around ATL, you can find New Realm's delicious Georgia Tech collaboration brews, Ale of an Engineer Golden Ale, and Hella Vienna Lager. Find them near you today by using the beer finder at newrealmbrewing.com and visit New Realm's Atlanta Brewery at 550 Somerset Terrace on the East Side Beltline Trail.
Hello and welcome to The Kroger Show. At Kroger, everyone wins when it comes to saving big. Because when you order online through the Kroger app, you get the same great prices, deals, and rewards on pickup or delivery that you do in-store with no hidden fees or markups. Best of all, you'll know when items in your cart have a coupon, so you never miss a deal. So whether you're a delivery lover, picker-upper, or you shop in-store, you'll always save big at Kroger. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is our home, and at Georgia Power, we believe every Georgian deserves a clean energy future. A future that includes around-the-clock nuclear energy, producing zero emissions. And thanks to the dedication of thousands of team members, we've recently completed the newest nuclear unit at Plant Vogtle. A unit that will serve our customers with reliable energy for generations to come. Learn more at georgiapower.com/Vogtle. That's georgiapower.com/VOGTLE.
Atlanta, home of clout, home of culture, home of Georgia Tech. But it's not enough to represent a city, you have to reflect it. And our story is Atlanta's story. A place that influences and innovates. A place that doesn't wait for change, it creates it. A place of relentless drive and undeniable swagger. With a storied past and unstoppable future. That's Atlanta. That's Georgia Tech. So let others wish they were here or pretend they're from here. We are here. And when you take this celebrated program in this world-class city, you get an electricity unlike anything in college football. Welcome to Atlanta. And what's the good word? This is Georgia Tech football.
No better source on Georgia Tech football than our team of Yellow Jacket insiders. This is the Coach Brent Key Show, driven by Hyundai on the Georgia Tech Sports Network.
Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Take a taste. He's Brent Key. I'm Andy Dumetris. The Brent Key Coaches Show, driven by Hyundai on the Georgia Tech Sports Network. From Legend Sports, getting you set for Georgia Tech at number 17, North Carolina. Saturday night, 8 o'clock, Tobias Leather here at Bobby Dodd Stadium at Hyundai Field. Coach, I know it has dominated the national college football conversation this week. I'm not going to ask you to wade into the specifics of the situation, but I know coaches have been asked around college football this week, and I'm curious where you stand on this. Are you in favor of coach-to-player helmet communications?
Yeah, I think it'd be a huge advantage right now in college football. You know, there's several things. There's the coach to player communication. There's the sideline electronics, you know, usage for, you know, reviewing plays and whatnot on the sideline. All of those things are they're used in the NFL. They're used in high school ball, but they're not used in college right now. And, you know, really a big part of it is the communication part. You know, it goes back to the signals, the way you get the plays in and whatnot, and being able to be in that guy's ear. It's not like you're sitting there telling him exactly what to do. It's relaying the play in for then the play call to be given out to the rest of the team. And just with some of the things you've seen as of late happen in college football with sign stealing and really an unfair people trying to get an unfair advantage on the game, I think it's a sure way to keep that from happening.
Yes. How much do you and your staff discuss that during the week about making sure that you make your signals and your communication to the players kind of steel proof?
Yeah, you do. That's you know, the getting your information to your team has become something that everyone feels like is their information to get. And there's places that have elaborate operations set up on how to decipher signals and what other teams are doing, as opposed to going and just playing the plays and playing football the way it's supposed to be played. And that's a fact. We all know that. Everyone in college football knows that. You still got to go. You still got to go play the game. You still got to stop the plays. You still got to be able to run plays versus what the other team you believe they're doing. And it is elaborate. I mean, there's 2 to 3 signalers on everything. That was something defensively that we've been working the last 2 weeks of making changes to. And getting more signalers, dummy signalers, wristbands. There's all sorts of ways that people go about devising that to get the signals or to get the plays in.
Why do you think the NCAA has been slow to adopt what's already in the NFL and, like you said, already in the high school football ranks when it comes to electronics on sidelines and communications and things of that nature? I mean, why? You know, it seems like it's such an obvious thing for the NCAA to adopt.
Yeah, most I've heard over the last couple of years has been for a cost effectiveness standpoint, being able to have the same advantages at Power Five schools, Group of Five schools, FCS schools, all across the board, to make it a level playing field is what I keep hearing.
Like you said, you still have to play the play, and somebody who has made some plays for you last couple of weeks has been Amari Harvey. Interception back-to-back games for the Tallahassee, Florida native. That was a terrific acrobatic interception in the end zone versus Boston College in the third quarter. Give us some insight into Amari's growth over the course of this season to earn some more playing time for you on the back end.
Yeah, he's done a good job. He's maturing. He's maturing on the field in the way he plays and carries himself in the meeting rooms and the way he learns. But also, he's matured a lot off the field and in the classroom. So it's starting really to show. And I think Amari's got a bright future.
You guys have 12 turnovers in your wins, only 2 in the losses. Do you worry in general about a defense's effectiveness being too tied into generating turnovers? Of course, a coach wants to generate turnovers every defensive possession, but do you worry that it's way too important to the overall effectiveness of a defense whether or not you get those turnovers?
Well, I mean, it's one of the most important statistics in all of football is gain turnovers and lost turnovers.
Yeah, and this is like the predictiveness of it.
Yeah, so it's possessions, it's scoring opportunities, it's momentum, it's all of those things. And when something has been proven to be a true indicator in wins and losses, yeah, that's important. Do you worry about having a defense that relies on them? I think you have an entire team that wants to possess the football and gain turnovers, and you can't always control getting turnovers. You can control possessing the ball and not turning the ball over. That's something we've got to do a better job of in the passing game, of possessing the football, not turning it over. But you don't worry about the defense becoming dependent upon it. It becomes an advantage for you when you get them. You've got to play the game the same way, and you try to get turnovers. I mean, you practice that. You practice getting those things.
Lamal Brooks had an interception in the win versus North Carolina last year. It hasn't necessarily, at least from my observation, been a season of splash plays for Lamiles, but it's been a season full of steady plays. And you certainly don't want to take anyone's consistency for granted. How has Lamiles fared this season? As somebody who is trying to go out there and be effective while dealing with, for the first time in his career, sort of the heightened, increased spotlight. He was a preseason All-ACC guy.
Yeah, I think coming out of into the Miami week was the first week he was really healthy, and it showed in the way he played. And then, I know for a fact that he wants to continue to be consistent with that and in the way he plays, and he wants to continue to stay healthy and be available out there on the field for the team.
KJ Wallace, another guy who's picked it up of late. It seems that nickel, just like Amari, somebody who seems week to week to be getting better and better and more effective and more effective.
Yeah, he's really played solid football this year at that nickel spot, and that's a tough position to play. You know, the short area quickness that KJ possesses allows him to be effective there and play well. And we sub guys in different packages where those really all three safeties have different roles within the defense depending on what type of team we're facing.
KJ Wallace. And LaMiles Brooks and Amari Harvey, they will certainly have their work cut out for them as they face Drake May, the ACC Offensive Player of the Year, and number 17 North Carolina this Saturday night. But we remind you, last year when Georgia Tech faced Drake May, who at that point in the season was generating some Heisman chatter, they held him to a season low in passing yards and zero touchdown passes as part of a road win over then number 12 North Carolina. North Carolina number 17, the ranking that they will wield inside Bobby Dodd Stadium this Saturday as they take on your Yellow Jackets. We'll continue the conversation with head coach Brent Key in just a moment. It's the Brent Key Coaches Show, driven by Hyundai on the Georgia Tech Sports Network from Legend Sports.
And we're back with the action. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. With an irresistible taste and zero sugar, Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any sports fan. So make sure you... Wait, Jim, I didn't mean try it right now. We're still on the air.
Best Coke ever? Take a taste, Jen.
Really?
No, not right now, Jen. We got a game to call.
Football time, which turns Sunday and Thursday into the best days of the week. Well, they just got better because now through October 29th, Keno has 30% higher payouts during bonus hours. Win $500, it becomes $650. The bonus hours are Sunday, 1 to 3 p.m. and Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. So play Keno online and anywhere Keno is sold and get 30% higher payouts during bonus hours. Sundays, 1 to 3 p.m. and Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. Only from the Georgia Lottery. Play responsibly.
You know Georgia Tech football is exciting to watch, but here's something you might not see. Many of the mechanical and HVAC systems on Tech's campus that make game day and every day comfortable were built by the hands of a United Association Local Union 72 plumber, pipe fitter, or HVAC technician. We do important work that makes a difference. If you're smart, like making great money, working with your hands, and you want a career that makes a difference, join us. Visit ua72.org.
In real estate, it's all about the amenities. I should know. I'm an agent.
At Hyundai, all of our models offer first-class features, like Android Auto, an available Bose premium audio system, heated front and rear seats, and wireless device charging.
It's like an upscale home on wheels in here.
It's your journey. Own every mile.
Get 0% APR, plus zero payments for 90 days, or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the 2024 Hyundai Tucson. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Offer ends October 31st. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
It's not a trait. It's not a talking point. Here, toughness is a tradition. It's woven into the white and gold, defines everything we do on the flats. Toughness is timeless. Take away the glitz, the flash, the attention, the adulation. Only toughness can lead to greatness. And here, we have more of it than you know. It's forged some of our greatest successes, elevated us beyond what others expect, from a kid to a lead to a miracle. Hall of Famers, national champions, and those who have transformed the sport. And through it all, we've done it our way, not like anyone else, because we don't aspire to be like everyone else. So let others preach it, because we epitomize it. And on game day, you'll learn what Georgia Tech toughness is all about.
Latest on Yellow Jackets football. It's the Coach Brent Key Show, driven by Hyundai on the Georgia Tech Sports Network.
Hyundai and Georgia Tech together in tech innovation and progress with a new EV plant in Georgia. Hyundai looks forward to growing ties with the Institute and the community. Together, we're building the future of technology right here in Georgia. Hyundai and Georgia Tech. It's our journey. Along with Brent Key, Andy Demetra, the Brent Key Coaches Show driven by Hyundai on the Georgia Tech Sports Network from Legend Sports. Not only does Georgia Tech get the prime time slot versus the Tar Heels at Bobby Dodd Stadium, but they get it on homecoming as well. And it's a homecoming on several levels because also Georgia Tech welcoming back Paul Johnson this weekend for an on-campus salute ahead of his induction into the College Football Hall of Fame. You had some very glowing words, Coach, about Paul at your press conference earlier today. Can you express your admiration for him from one Georgia Tech head coach to another and just the admiration you have for him as a fellow member of this coaching fraternity?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the biggest thing is not only being the head coach here and having the honor to sit in the same chair he did, but just what he was able to do over his entire career at so many spots and the consistency that he was able to bring and the way he was able to, you know, have his teams, be consistent, throughout the season, but the sense of toughness that he brought and built into those teams.
We were talking about player-to-coach communication and vice versa. He was never somebody that you had to worry about somebody eavesdropping off a play sheet or you just whisper in the ear hole of the quarterback, and that would be it.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
No, it is. It was fascinating to watch. It was.
That was, by the way, a very Paul Johnson-esque answer, as I learned in my 3 years doing the radio show.
That's why.
Him.
That's why I tried to do it. That's why I tried to emulate it. But no, he's. He was one of a kind in the way he did it. He believed in his system and what he did, and it showed. It proved to be successful for many, many years.
And it's so funny how so many coaches now in their run scheme. It's just a takeoff of something that he perfected all those years. You know, a lot of times it's out of the shotgun, but the elements and the principles, they all trace back to the type of offense that Paul ran, albeit under center, and that same level of effectiveness. It's good to see him getting his due, not just for his one-loss record that's part of his induction into the College Football Hall of Fame, but just, you know, his influence on play calling over the last, generation in college football.
Yeah, I mean, he's as good of a game day coach as you'll see in all of in really all the many, many years I've been watching college football.
We record the show in your office, and it's interesting that you do not see a Sports Illustrated magazine in here. You don't see a Phil Steele magazine in here, but you do see a 1957 copy of a Look magazine, which is a long defunct general interest lifestyle magazine. I am very curious, what is the story behind that and why it's on display in your office?
Yeah, so a coach, a local high school coach who I've known for a long time, gave that to me. And inside of it, it was there's an article on Bobby Dodd. And the article is about the different hats that a head coach wears and how the head coach doesn't really, coach football anymore because they're doing so many different things. And it was written by Furman Bisher, the legendary columnist for the AJC, and signed by him. So I thought it was a really cool piece of history, of college football history, of Atlanta history, but of Georgia Tech football history.
I'm sure you've read the article from Bobby Dodd as a first person story. How much of that still resonates today about the coach not always being the coach, so to speak?
Yeah, it is. It just shows how forefront he was in the way he coached, the way he thought, and the way he saw the game.
You said there's a legendary coach. This was Ed Dudley Jr., correct, who was now at Blessed Trinity, but he was your coach in high school, correct?
No.
No second takes here in radio.
I like that. Now that's confidence.
That's called owning a mistake.
Taking
responsibility. That's what coaches like to see in their players, and it's what they like to see in their broadcasters as well.
I like that.
So how'd you get to know Ed Dudley Jr.?
Many years ago, just recruiting in Atlanta. Okay. He was coaching at Walton High School at the time, and just – through his family who had been in the area and, other people I'd, worked with or worked for that had recruited the same schools and just struck up a relationship with him. Very successful high school coach. He's been, several different places, but now he's back here in town at Blessed Trinity.
When did he gift that magazine to you?
So he He texted me, I believe it was, you know, beginning December into November, and said that he had it. And then when he came down here to the coaches, the high school coaches clinic that Coach McFarland had put on, he brought it with him and gave it to me.
Awesome. That's a pretty cool story. Yeah, not a Sports Illustrated to be found, but a 66-year-old lifestyle magazine, part of the display here inside Brent Key's office. I also found this interesting that if you look back to Hoover High School, Hoover, Alabama, and you would appreciate this as an Alabamian,
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I know you are. Maybe the fans don't. 2007, Hoover High, the offensive coordinator of that team was Chip Lindsey, who will be the offensive coordinator for North Carolina on Saturday. The defensive coordinator,
drum roll,
Kevin Shearer, who will be your defensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's it's a small circle in the coaching fraternity, but it's also a small circle of guys that, you know, we're all from the Birmingham area. All grew up, around each other. Then ended up, a lot of those guys came out from that tree of coaches at Hoover High School back in the early mid 2000s.
That was not one of the years they recorded Two-A-Days on MTV, was it?
I'm not sure the exact years, but I do know that. It was around the same time. Mm-hmm. It was the same head coach, Rush Probst. My high school offensive line coach, Tony Pugh, he was on the staff there with him. His son was the center at the time. Ended up going and playing at Auburn, I believe. I don't believe. I know he did. I just don't always want to say that to Ryan. But just family friends for a long time. So, knowing those guys and how close everybody really was coming from that same area.
Kevin Shearer just seems tailor-made for MTV, that generation.
Hard rock.
Oh, absolutely.
The metal. What was the metal? The heavy metal show they had?
Yeah, no, Headbangers Ball.
Headbangers Ball, there you go.
There you go, yeah. You're speaking to a certain demographic.
Yes,
I'm not sure
are,
if that'll no register question. With everybody, but I'm glad it does with you and me.
Headbangers Ball and Yo MTV Raps.
There
those
you go.
Those are the two.
Let's run the gambit. Before we go to a break, you are facing North Carolina on homecoming. You also played North Carolina on a homecoming. That would have been 1999. What do you recall of that game?
Midday game. Really nice day outside. I don't quite recall the final score. I think it was 99 at...
It was 99 here.
99. Oh.
It was homecoming at Georgia Tech.
I thought you said there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking about the 2000 game. The 99 game here. 97, 98, 99, 2000. I'm trying to remember the exact score. Was it 48-21?
You got the right team winning, but it was actually 31-24 Tech overtime. Do you remember that? Did I unlock a core memory here?
They get back and forth on that. So I was thinking of the 2000 game.
Okay.
So the 99 game was the game that we were on the -5 yard line. I want to say, but we were backed up. That was the game that Joe Hamilton came in the huddle and said, "We got 95 yards to go, boys. Let's go get it done." And we drove down the field. I think we ended up kicking a field goal to go to overtime. Mm-hmm. And then winning in overtime. But I do, I vividly remember that.
There you go.
Now that you, put the score back into my head.
Let's bring it all full circle. Now coaching against North Carolina on homecoming and looking for that same result this Saturday night. 8 o'clock, Tom Weisleather will, of course, be on the air with our network pregame 2 hours prior. We'll continue the conversation with Brent Key in just a moment. It's the Brent Key Coaches Show on the Georgia Tech Sports Network from Legend Sports.
In real estate, it's all about the amenities. I should know. I'm an agent.
At Hyundai, all of our models offer first-class features, like Android Auto, an available Bose premium audio system, heated front and rear seats, and wireless device charging.
It's like an upscale home on wheels in here.
It's your journey. Own every mile.
Get 0% APR, plus 0 payments for 90 days, or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the 2024 Hyundai Tucson. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Offer ends October 31st. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Atlanta's own New Realm Brewing Company is the official craft beer of Georgia Tech Athletics. In the stadium and around ATL, you can find New Realm's delicious Georgia Tech collaboration brews, Ale of an Engineer Golden Ale, and Hella Vienna Lager. Find them near you today by using the beer finder at newrealmbrewing.com and visit New Realm's Atlanta Brewery at 550 Somerset Terrace on the East Side Beltline Trail.
One of the toughest jobs in law enforcement is telling a family that a loved one has been killed by a drunk driver. That's why Georgia law enforcement works every day to keep drunk drivers off the road. Every DUI arrest could be one less family to lose someone to drunk driving. You can help. Hand the keys to a designated driver or call a ride service. It saves lives and prevents a costly DUI arrest. Drive sober or get pulled over. Brought to you by the Governor's Office of Highway Safety.
This time of year, life can be a lot. School, sports, travel, holidays, decorating the house over and over. The last thing you want is to be surprised by a winter gas bill. Life is complicated. Natural gas shouldn't be. At Georgia Natural Gas, we keep it simple with low rates that save you money. So protect yourself from winter surprises with our best discount of the year. Visit GNG.com today. It's that simple.
Atlanta, home of clout, home of culture, home of Georgia Tech. But it's not enough to represent a city. You have to reflect it. And our story is Atlanta's story. A place that influences and innovates. A place that doesn't wait for change, it creates it. A place of relentless drive and undeniable swagger. With a storied past and unstoppable future. That's Atlanta. That's Georgia Tech. So let others wish they were here or pretend they're from here. We are here. And when you take this celebrated program in this world-class city, you get an electricity unlike anything in college football. Welcome to Atlanta, and what's the good word? This is Georgia Tech football.
Football continues to buzz. Now more of the Coach Brent Key Show, driven by Hyundai on the Georgia Tech Sports Network.
Yellow Jacket fans, be sure to visit GeorgiaPower.com/community to learn new ways to stay connected. Georgia Power, the official energy sponsor of Georgia Tech Athletics. Power on Georgia. Can't wait to see you back at Bobby Dodd Stadium this Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Your Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets and the North Carolina Tar Heels as we continue the conversation with head coach Brent Key. It was good to see Jordan Williams back on the field after he got banged up in that Wake Forest game. Coach, he was actually at right tackle on the drive that ended with Jamal Haynes' run off the right side of the line, if memory serves. How did he perform? More importantly, how did he feel being back out there?
Yeah, it was good for him to get back out there. You know, he played the first half, wasn't able to finish off the game in the second half. You know, played, you know, I think 20-25 plays in the first half. Was still pretty sore, but you know, pushed through it. You know, in the first half of the game, and then was able to come back after the game and you know continue to rehabilitate. And you know, that was the track we had him on as far as a play count. And now he looks to be full speed now or as close to it as you can really want to be at this time of the season.
That's good to hear. Previous segment, you had recalled Joe Hamilton's 95-yard scoring drive against North Carolina in the homecoming game in 1999. Haynes King's 71-yard touchdown run, that is longer than Joe's career-long run, which probably was not on your bingo card. But it was a great design run. What did Buster see in that moment that made it the right play to dial up?
Yeah, well, we saw in some of the sets we were going in that you know they were kind of how they were playing the defense, and we knew that they weren't you know necessarily running line games or you know, and sometimes they were dropping a nose out and putting more people in coverage, really. So we were able to call some basically a quarterback draw, and you know, had some other things added with it, but. You know, we saw what they were doing up front. We were able to, you know, dial it up, and you know, it was good blocking by the receivers. Good blocking on the perimeter edge by those guys, and being able to, you know, run the initial route, and then you know, still be able to get in front of those guys and allow them to score.
And the guy who stuck his block that first allowed Haynes to get to that second level was Jamal Haynes, and his blocking, it seems, has really improved this year. Does the film corroborate that? Have you seen an improved blocking from Jamal this year that allowed him to be more of an every down back for you?
Yeah, he has. He wants to be an every down back. He understands he's got to be able to, you know, protect and block and do those things as well to be that every down back. And he's worked really hard at it, and it's starting to show up at times that the work that he's put in.
You've said time and again, you're not a stats guy, and I get that. I kind of have to be as the broadcaster. You didn't allow a sack versus BC. You enter this weekend 11th in the nation in fewest sacks allowed, just 7 on the year. Do you take satisfaction in that number, though, especially since you'd voiced some concern about the pass protection in fall camp?
Yeah, you know, it's good to have that, but it's, you know, as much as I say when sacks occur, it's not always the offensive line, right? Well, when lack of sacks appear, it's not always the offensive line. So it comes both ways. And, you know, there's so many other factors that go into it. There's receivers getting open versus not getting open, all right? There's the quarterback, you know, throwing on time and getting rid of the football versus holding on to the ball. Obviously, there's offensive line blocking. There's, you know, guys that might lose a block or you know, be off on a line game or whatever, and they finish the play and end up allowing the quarterback to break, contain, and scramble. So it's really all encompassing when it comes to the pass protection.
Wide receivers against Boston College. Eric Singleton dressed, but he wasn't able to give it a go. I know Chase Lane got back, but he was still limited. What do you need to see more of out of your wide receivers for them to recapture versus North Carolina?
Yeah, you obviously you'd love to have those guys out there, and we hope they can play. But a lot of those things you don't know till game time. You have a plan. You have a thought that, you know, a guy can't, you know, is going to be able to play versus not play, and then you get to pregame, and you know, it changes the thoughts a little bit. You know, maybe they're not as confident as they thought they were going to be during the week, or the treatment process has not, you know, gone as rapidly as you wanted it to go. So if certain guys aren't out there, you know, we look at it as it gives other guys an opportunity. So those guys have got to step up and be able to do the things that the other guys can, maybe not the same way, but at least be able to be a viable target and get open and understand coverage and find the places to be.
And somebody who picked up that slack was Avery Boyd. Had a really tight slant that he caught from Haynes King and chugged in for his second touchdown of the season. Somebody who continues to be used selectively in the passing game, but effectively as well, as that big-bodied target. What makes him a tough matchup out there?
Well, he's got size and speed, and he's really improved his catching ability, improved his hands, improved his route running. He's dropped some weight where he's more fluid in and out of his cuts, and he's a big, strong target.
Haynes King, there was something on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, where they replayed that touchdown run, and they clocked him at 21 miles per hour. Now, I know Haynes has got a long stride. I don't know what your GPS recorded of Haynes, but, boy, he is faster just turning on that top end than I think some people have anticipated. It seems like he's somebody who has slowly started to find his rhythm in the running game, with you guys needing to utilize him a little more of late to loosen up defenses. Have you kind of noticed that as well, that Haynes is gathering some confidence in his own running ability, scrambling out of the pocket, vulturing yards with his feet, and being effective in that aspect of his game?
Yeah, for sure. There's, you know, he's got really good speed, really good straight line speed, but he's a long guy, he's a long strider. So certain runs are better for him than others. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to, you know, break you down in a phone booth and make you miss. But, you know, in given a long distance, he can outrun guys.
There was that one play where he got him the first down and BC got laid his shoulder into him. Was that a situation where, you know, you got the first down, the job is done, Haynes, go ahead and take that slide and we'll pick it up again?
Yeah, you've got to be smart with those things as a quarterback. You know, the thing about sliding, you know, you don't really get where you think that the play is, because yeah, the way the rule is written in order to protect the quarterback, it's when he begins the act of sliding, that's where the ball is spotted. So he might go down to start sliding, and then, you know, it's another 3 or 4 yards before he's actually stopped. Well, that's it's a lot less yards than you would normally get. than if you just lowered your shoulder. Mm-hmm. Well, at the same time, we sure don't want, you know, the quarterback to be lowering his shoulder every time and running people over. You know, good things are never going to come out of that.
Yeah. 150 rushing yards for Haynes King. Like we said, 71 yards in that touchdown run. It was the longest run by a Tech quarterback since Daquan Marshall versus Virginia back in 2017. We'll take another timeout. We'll dive more into North Carolina and the challenge they present. The Tar Heels 6-1 on the year, themselves looking to bounce back following a pretty stunning home loss to a then 1-5 Virginia team that took place in Chapel Hill last Saturday night. We know what kind of mindset, what mood the Tar Heels may bring into Bobby Dodd Stadium at Hyundai Field this Saturday. Georgia Tech will no doubt be ready for it. We'll make sure you get ready for it as well as we break down the Tar Heels following our final timeout. It is the Brent Key Coaches Show driven by Hyundai on the Georgia Tech Sports Network from Legend Sports.
Fall is finally upon us, and that means football season, pumpkin spice, and bugs. But it's still warm here in Georgia, which means the local populations of pests like mosquitoes, ants, roaches, and rodents are still out and about. Luckily, you can trust the experts at Arrow Exterminators to protect your family and keep your home or business pest-free inside and out. The professionals at Arrow understand that it's not just any home, it's your home. Schedule your free pest inspection today. Call 888-GO-ARROW or visit arrowexterminators.com.
It's the start of a new era of Georgia Tech men's basketball as new head coach Damon Stoudemire begins his first season at the helm of the Yellow Jackets. Help us bring the thrill back into the Thrill Dome by making sure you're at McCamish Pavilion to see the Jackets play. Whether you choose 9 games, including the matchup versus the Duke Blue Devils, or 6 games, including the North Carolina Tar Heels, we have plans to fit your busy schedule. For tickets and more info, visit RamblinRack.com. Sting 'em.
Wherever you go this fall, greatness starts in a Ford SUV. That's because Ford Escape, Explorer, and the spirited Bronco Sport SUVs have the power, cargo space, and smart tech you need for tailgating on game day, camping under the stars, fall festivals, romantic dinner dates, concerts, antiquing, pumpkin picking, weekend getaways, school play. For great offers on these versatile SUVs, see your local Ford dealer today. Greatness starts here.
This is our home, and at Georgia Power, we believe every Georgian deserves a clean energy future. A future that includes around-the-clock nuclear energy, producing zero emissions. And thanks to the dedication of thousands of team members, we've recently completed the newest nuclear unit at Plant Vogtle, a unit that will serve our customers with reliable energy for generations to come. Learn more at georgiapower.com/Vogtle. That's georgiapower.com/VOGTLE.
It's not a trait. It's not a talking point. Here, toughness is a tradition. It's woven into the white and gold, defines everything we do on the flats. Toughness is timeless. Take away the glitz, the flash, the attention, the adulation. Only toughness can lead to greatness. And here, we have more of it than you know. It's forged some of our greatest successes, elevated us beyond what others expect, from a kid to a lead to a miracle. Hall of Famers, national champions, and those who have transformed the sport. And through it all, we've done it our way, not like anyone else, because we don't aspire to be like everyone else. So let others preach it, because we epitomize it. And on game day, you'll learn what Georgia Tech toughness is all about.
No better source on Georgia Tech football than our team of Yellow Jacket insiders. This is the Coach Brent Key Show, driven by Hyundai on the Georgia Tech Sports Network.
Georgia Tech and North Carolina, we know all about the mystique of Bobby Dodd Stadium on a night game, and that skyline will be all lit up for us at 8 o'clock for Tomey's Leather 2 days from now. Georgia Tech versus North Carolina. Our network pregame show begins 2 hours prior at 6 o'clock on the Georgia Tech Sports Network from Legend Sports. But that being said, Coach, two straight years you faced North Carolina when the Tar Heels were ranked, beat them both times, including that memorable comeback. last year in Chapel Hill from down 17-0 to winning 21-17. And you did what so few teams were able to do last year, and that was limit Drake May, who wound up being the ACC Player of the Year. He had 202 passing yards, which was a season low. No touchdown passes. First time that had happened to him all year. And his completion percentage was just 53% when he was humming along at close to 70% entering that matchup. What was it about the game plan against Drake May that enabled you guys to have success versus him? Anything you can take from that you can apply to Saturday night?
Yeah, we were able to we stayed true to the plan. We stuck to the plan last year. We were able to get pressure on him. We were able to affect the quarterback. I think we had, you know, six sacks in the game, numerous pressure opportunities. We kept him bottled up. He's a sneaky fast runner. He's not going to break you down like the guy last week did. But you know, when he pulls it down, he's a really good athlete, and he can get the yards that he needs. So we've got to be able to do that. And work to affect him that way up front, but also being able to to mix in coverages and not play the same thing all the time and keep the pictures different.
Yeah, Drake May also led the Tar Heels in rushing last year. That spot this year belongs to Omarion Hampton. 110 rushing yards per game. Gee whiz, he had almost 200 by himself versus a Miami team that led the nation in rush defense and third in the ACC in rushing touchdowns. How does he profile as a running back? What makes him a tough matchup come Saturday?
Yeah, well, he's a good runner, but they get it to him quickly. It's a lot of real true fastball tempo runs that they get him the ball on. So it's going to be in the they're catching guys not set, not ready, and he's finding a crease, and then he's got the ability to take it longer distances once he does.
So he's just kind of a one cut and go guy?
No, he's got the full toolbox of as a running back. I mean, he can catch, he can run, he can make people miss, but some of the explosive runs, a lot of the explosive runs and the consistent runs that they're getting with him are just tempo runs where he's finding a crease and kind of weaving his way through that, and he runs with a low center of gravity and runs with his pads low, so he's able to get down through those and then pop out on the other side and get some explosive runs.
Yeah, he was a highly touted guy out of high school in the state of North Carolina. You had mentioned, though, the pressure you'd been able to affect on not just Drake May, but Sam Howell before him in these last two meetings. Last two games versus North Carolina, your defense, 14 sacks and 25 TFLs. Why have you guys been able to punch above your numbers when it comes to the disruptive plays against North Carolina? You guys have seemed to have shown a knack for it. I know they've got a new offensive coordinator in Chip Lindsey. Phil Longo had that position the last 2 years. But why have you guys been so effective against North Carolina?
Yeah, well, I think that last year we had a good plan going in, both sides of the football. I think the guys were bought in from the beginning and believed in the plan, and they played the full game. I think we got down early in the game last year, and kept chipping away and stuck to the plan, and they kept fighting and were able to come out on top.
They also now have the benefit of Tez Walker. He was in that NCAA waiver transfer limbo. But now he's back on for three games now, and he's right up there with almost 7-8 yards a reception, 7-8 receptions a game, I should say, since he's come back. What has made him a slippery wide receiver and a weapon for Drake May?
Well, he's talented. I mean, he's got good hands. He's fast. He's big. He can manipulate coverage with the way he runs his routes and put guys, spin guys around that are trying to guard him. He's all around good receiver.
Virginia, like we said, they were 1-5 when they faced North Carolina last Saturday. And Mac Brown talked afterwards that maybe they just didn't have the juice inside Keenan Stadium that night, and his players didn't approach the game with the urgency they needed. And Virginia, if you simply looked at their one-loss record and not the tape, you would not have gotten an accurate picture of how threatening they could have been. But they held Drake May to 50% completions. He did throw for 347, but it was on 24 of 48 passes, which was a career low in completion percentage. What did Virginia do that caught your eye defensively to keep North Carolina and Drake May in particular off balance?
Really the same thing we were just talking about. When you're able to there's going to be there's going to be plays that are gotten, there's going to be an explosive throw, right? But to be able to regroup, come back, play the next play, to be able to, you know, affect the quarterback. It's not always, it doesn't always show up in sacks, but to be able to affect the quarterback is big. To be able to, you know, create disturbance and create things up front that can, you know, also take away some of the run game, that makes the runs bounce. Because when you're playing coverage on a guy like him, you know, obviously the extra hat is going to be outside. So you want those, you don't want the plays to split right up the middle. You want the run plays to be able to bounce and get wider. And then now you put him in a situation where he's uncomfortable. You put him in that position where he's not sitting back there doing what he does so well, and that's deliver the football and run the offense. So and then they changed up looks on him. They created some confusion on the back end in the way they disguise coverages. Made him throw some poor balls to the wrong person, and then they mixed up some of their blitzes on him. Getting in and getting out of different blitzes to again put the pressure on him.
The official scorebook only lists QB hurries and sacks, but I know that defensive coaches have their own grading system for charting disruptions. What are some of those categories that your defensive staff has to grade out a player's effectiveness beyond just the pressures and the sacks?
Yeah, well, pressures and sacks, but ability to affect in the throw. Mm-hmm. That's one, to make him throw off the spot. So anytime a quarterback has to move right, move left, you know, and that's different than scrambling outside of the pocket. If you force a scramble, it's one thing, but to make a quarterback then move off of his spot where he's comfortable throwing the ball, there's havoc rate, which is is a combination of TFLs, the quarterback's incompletions or forced incompletions by the guys up front. And then pressures aren't always accounted for when they've bull rushed an offensive lineman, say, all right, and collapsed the pocket. And that's something we've got to do. You're not always going to come home and get the quarterback hit, the quarterback pressure, the quarterback sack, but you can affect him in different ways. And that's something we've got to do a good job of. We've got to constrict his throwing lanes. We've got to get our hands up, get him in the windows and on some of the quicker throws that he has.
Defensively, North Carolina vastly improved from last season, particularly in their sacks number. They were among the lowest sacking defenses in the nation last year. They've turned that around. What are their strengths on the defensive side?
Experience. They've got guys that have played. They've got guys that have played together. They've played together under the same a coordinator for a couple of years. And they've changed up some of the ways they play their front to allow them to free up and get a little more pressure.
Yeah, defensive coordinator would be Gene Chizik, the former Auburn head coach, who was also Mack Brown's defensive coordinator at the University of Texas. And then this is also a North Carolina team that doesn't put the ball on the ground much, and they get turnovers. They're eighth in the nation in turnover margin. How does their defense enable them to flip the field with turnovers?
Well, they get them.
that goes without saying.
Is it more so because of the disruption up front or just the ball skills of the guys in the back?
No, they've got they've got guys with really good ball skills. They've got good cover guys. But it goes back to what you said earlier with the guys up front creating the havoc and creating the pressure on the quarterbacks.
Well, there you go. And that is your North Carolina Tar Heels, whom Georgia Tech will face this Saturday night. Looking forward to get back in the win column and in front of all of you at Bobby Dodd Stadium at Hyundai Field. That wraps up this week's edition of the Brent Key Coaches Show, driven by Hyundai. Coach, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next time.
Appreciate it. Go Jackets.
He's Brent Key. I'm Andy DeMatcher, and we'll see you next time on the Brent Key Coaches Show. Hey!